Begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated as our service now continues with our readings.
The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 18. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree, while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourself. And after that, you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, Do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, Quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is Sarah your wife?" And he said, "She is in the tent." The Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah your wife shall have a son." The epistle reading is from Colossians chapter 1. "You who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present your holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make me known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy and his powerful works within me." Please stand for the gospel.
In our gospel lesson for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, we read that doing a good work instead of hearing the word of God is not pleasing to him. The gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Jesus and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. And you may be seated as we sing a song telling us that Jesus is enough for us.
Thank you.
Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, you heard the gospel lesson. Martha was distracted. What a great time to talk about the destructive and distracting elements of smartphones. They distract everybody. Everybody that has one is so distracted all the time on the phone. But you know what? When I was growing up, it wasn't the phone. TV. That's the real problem. You want to know the real problem? It's television. When I was growing up, I was told if I kept watching TV, it was going to rot my brain. That's what I was told. So TV is obviously the real culprit. But you know, as I think about that, I remember an article I read years ago. It was an article written years and years ago, before TV had even been invented. It said that radio was the problem. Radio is so distracting. You know, you listen to the radio, a story or a baseball game, you can't think or do anything else. You're so distracted, radio is the culprit. That's the real problem. But you know, if I really want to go further back, because I think we need to get to the core of the problem. I think the great philosopher Socrates really is the one who did it best. He knew what was going on and he called it the way he saw it. And I think he was on to something. He said the real problem, the most distracting thing, the thing that is so individualistic that once you're using this device, you cannot focus on anything else around you, books. Books and reading, language, it's all a problem. How many of you hold a conversation and read a book at the same time? You just can't. So distracting. Absolutely distracting. You know, it seems that the complaint of distraction and entertainment controlling the population, it gets leveled every so often. Socrates claimed that the writing was the problem. He did that well before Christ. When I was a kid, I was constantly told that TV was our issue. If only we could get rid of television, then we would fix all the world's ills. And who can doubt the problems with smartphones and distracting us all the time? As we approach the gospel lesson for today, it's that temptation, isn't it? That temptation to make that obvious connection. You have Mary, you have Martha, and yet Martha seems to be distracted. But Mary is not. I know. Really, the problem is a lot more complicated than that. That is a simple looking at it, for sure. But Martha is distracted with the chores that she does, and Mary is not. Martha is distracted with all that she's doing to serve. Yet, really, when you think about it, it kind of makes sense. Jesus is a guest in her house. How many of us here, when we have company coming over, don't clean our house? Right? Or don't get prepared for those guests that we're welcoming in. Kids, I know you guys might feel a little distracted here by this comment. Let me put it to you this way, guys. Whenever you guys have company, how many of you haven't been told to clean your room? Everybody raised their hand. We've all done it. We've all had it. We've all been told that the kitchen needs to be picked up and the rooms need to be cleaned. And so if Jesus isn't here condemning the use of smartphones, is he then condemning preparing your house for company? Or when the company finally gets there, keeping the company comfortable and doing all those things that you do whenever you have company and guest over? I sure hope not, because I kind of do some of those things. If we're to look more deeply into this text, our gospel reading, Jesus does seem to be chastising Martha a bit for basically picking up the house and doing household chores. I personally think that the real key to understanding this text is to understand who Jesus is. Let me explain. If Jesus was just anyone, I'm not sure this text would make any sense. But this text is specific about who Jesus is and the word which he has, mainly that he carries God's word, that he is the very Son of God. While there is nothing wrong with cleaning and with serving, there is something wrong when it is placed as a higher priority than God's word. In fact, there is a problem when anything is placed above God's word, whether it be phones or TV or anything. Anything that is placed above God's word is ultimately in the way. Anything placed in the words and the gifts which God gives to us is in the way. You see, it's all about priorities. Several years ago, I went to a youth conference, not the National Youth Gathering. It was a youth adult leaders kind of conference. I was the only one from my church that was able to go. So I went, and I had a hotel, and they had breakfast at the hotel. And so, of course, I took advantage of that breakfast. And I would go down to the lobby, and of course, everybody at that hotel was pretty much going to this conference. So we had lots of good conversations. And I remember one time I sat with a gentleman who was going to the youth conference, had a real heart for youth ministry, did a lot of work at his church. He was a sound guy. But you see, this church wasn't like our church. See, our church, our sound system's right up there. You can kind of work with it and still be in church. Not so with this. His church was rather large, and their sound system was actually in another room, a completely separate room. And he ran the sound. Not just for the church, but all events. Whether it was a youth event or whether it was a church service or whatever it happened to be, he was the sound guy. Toward the end of our conversation, he shared with me that he had not been to a church service in over 5 years. 5 years, because he was always the sound guy. He had not heard one sermon all the way through because he is always trying to work the sound and the keyboards and so on and so forth. He had not been to one church service in 5 years. Not one sermon was heard, not one sacrament received, all because he handled sound. Now, don't hear me wrong. I love that this man served the church and gave his gifts and talents to further the gospel of the Lord. I think that's a good thing. And yes, part of the issue was simply what I would call a design flaw on how the church had set up and handled the sound. We don't have that issue here. But all of those things are true, but staying away from the church for 5 years is not serving the church. It is misunderstanding one's priorities. And more importantly, it is forgetting where our priorities ultimately come from. This is the battle that Martha has in our text. It isn't that she is serving. That's not what's the bad. It's that she has in the room the very Son of God who is talking and expounding his word, and she's trying to do work instead of listening. Instead of receiving that which God is there to give her. You see, the serving isn't bad. The priority is. How about us? Have we ever done the same? Have we ever been so focused on this thing or that thing or this part of the service or that part of the service that we lose focus of our priorities? Have we ever allowed some things to take priority over the words and the gifts which God gives to us? I think if we're honest, most, if not all of us, have done so. And if I'm honest, pastors sometimes are the worst. Worried about whether my mic is right, whether or not my suit jacket has a stain right here, or some other thing that I happen to be concerned about, weathering whether or not I'm going to stumble over the words of my sermon. Sometimes the pastor is the worst. But again, don't hear me wrong. All these things around us, they're good things. Technology is a great thing, but sometimes technology doesn't play nice, and it has to be dealt with. Otherwise, that distraction that might distract one could distract everybody. It's unfortunate, but it's a reality. But when we consistently make those things the priority over and above the very words and gifts of God, we need to hear again what Christ says to Martha. We need to hear Christ remind us again and again that he is the priority, that his word is a priority. As Jesus says, there is but one thing that is necessary. We have all these things around us, and while many of them are good, there is but one thing that is necessary. That is the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. Christ is the priority, and He is the priority because He is the one that grants to us forgiveness and salvation. He is the one that gives to us those words of grace and reminds us again and again that we are forgiven. He is the one that brings us back together week after week, day after day, to hear His Word, the Word of God, again and again, and to receive those gifts which He gives to us. The forgiveness of sins, the gifts of the sacrament of the altar, where Christ's true body and blood is given to us for the forgiveness of sins. All those gifts that He grants to us. And so we gather again and again around His Word and around His name. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we now confess our sins in the word of a prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we come before You, Lord, because we have not always had You as a priority. We have sinned. We have sinned in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds. And we ask You for forgiveness. Lord, hear us now as we continue to confess our sins in a moment of silence. O Lord, hear us for the sake of Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Have mercy on us for the sake of Christ. In His name, amen. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you and for His sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now confess our common faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we continue our service with gifts and our offerings. If you could find that book of friendship found on the side by the aisles and sign that and get to know the people around you, that would be great. Thank you. please stand as we prepare our hearts for prayer? Let us now pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Each petition will end, Lord, in your mercy. The congregational response is, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Blessed Father, we have found favor in your sight, and you have accomplished all things for our salvation. Hear us on behalf of your church, especially those who worship and praise your name here at St. John's, including the Ripper, Rona, and Roskamp families, that those who have been baptized into Christ may live in him and make known your love to the world, that many may be the sons and daughters of Abraham and Sarah by faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy Lord, you made all things and gave us dominion over all you have made. Keep us from receiving your gifts with ingratitude, and help us to take responsibility for using them for your purpose and glory. Make us wise in the stewardship of all your creation, that we may preserve all you have made, and that this good earth may be fruitful for the needs of all people everywhere. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we live in a land of great abundance, and we carry great responsibility for the good things of this nation. Bless all who make, judge, administer our laws, and guide our leaders to know your ways and to follow them for the good of all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Saving Lord, we give you thanks for the blessings shown to our synod, for the faithful pastors and leaders of our church, and for the faithful support of your work here and throughout the world. Bless the delegates and leaders of our synod now meeting in convention, that they may deliberate wisely, not departing from the gospel, and elect people who will faithfully exercise the responsibilities of the office we entrust to them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Compassionate Father, in your mercy you behold all people and their needs, and by your grace you supply all that we need for this body and life and for everlasting life. Hear us on behalf of the sick and those who suffer, the grieving and the dying. Especially we pray for those who are hospitalized, including Virginia Urish, and also for those who have been released from the hospital and who continue the recovery, including Ken Lutz and Marge Frederick, and those we now name in our hearts in a brief moment of silence. Help them all to rejoice in their sufferings for the sake of Christ, and give healing and grace according to your will until you deliver your people to everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Everlasting God, look with mercy upon all those who grieve this day. We especially pray for the family and the friends of Joyce Coates, a friend of Margaret White, who passed away recently. Continue to grant them comfort during their time of need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All these things, O Lord, and whatever else you know we need, we pray you to grant us for the sake of the mercies and by the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.